Today's lecture is kind of a fun lecture comparing to the other, because we will using the our ESIP Java applet
using this to give you some visualization
what's the convolution, the procedure, how we convolute two signals and what it will be look like, some animation. And after that I will give some we'll spend some time to tell you how to do the convolution. If you give you two signals, like two functions, how you do the convolution by yourself, right? Because the homework problem and the exam will require you to manually do the convolution, right? Okay. Let's review some content about for the continuous time signal. How can we represent the continuous signal using the pulse function? For continuous time signal, we tried to use impulse function to represent our signal. Okay? So recall the definition of delta t. That's the curve of delta t, and delta t is zero for all the points if t is not zero, the delta t is always zero, and for t equals to zero, what's this?
Which one?
It's the infinity, right?
Oh.
Sometimes you get confused with delta n. For the
different okay.
signal, this is the one, right?
Okay.
So we want to represent our signal xt using delta t, but currently here is infinity. It's kind of difficult, so we have to use some mathematical approximation to do that. We will use this function. How call it? Triangle delta t something. For this special delta t, here we have a line with delta, and here is delta 1 over delta. Right. Why this is 1 over delta? Anybody know that? So this is delta, this should be 1 over delta.
It should have an area of 1.
Because the integral of delta t, remember, integral of delta t has to be 1. That's by definition. So that's our new delta t. We will use this signal to represent xt. Because when delta is approximate to 0, this the second delta t will get very close to be this delta t, right? for our XT, if we at this point, this can be T delta T, and this will be our X T delta T. This point is K delta T, and for in this small area, our function, our value of our signal will be X K delta T. This is the X axis. K-W-T. Using this kind of form, our signal XT can be represented by the integral of back top delta T minus top D top. So, I'm going to read me for this. It's kind of similar, very similar to the discrete convolution, the definition of that method. Right, because, and when the delta gets close to zero, this one, that this delta is just the delta. No difference. How this is important to us? How can we take advantage of this kind of signal representation? For our linear time invariant system, we XT is our input. Right? That's our system. We give the input XT, and we get the output YT. Because we can use delta t to represent x t. Now, if we give the input signal delta t to the system, what will we get? The output. What's the output?
Right.
That's h t. Right. That's the input response. Very important for to. Identify a system. And since we are linear time invariant system, the using the time invariant property, if we give the input of delta t minus tau, what will we get? Give this as input. Is in the time invariant property. That's a
negated
HT. HT minus tau. Yeah, HT minus tau. The time invariant means we give a delayed input, we get a delayed output. And also, since our system. Our system is also linear. So we can get now we will be able to represent the output YT using the HT. YT will equal X top, the integral of X top with HT minus tau. Right. That's using the linearity property. This is very similar with the discrete time signal. Remember the discrete signal, the yn equals to the sum of xi, what's here? What's the rest? Hn minus r. Right. That's the yn of the discrete time.
Hey, what was the bottom part of that summation?
The index of the summation.
You mean for the discrete? For DT or CT?
Was the summation that you wrote for discrete time?
Right. Summation for I equals to negative infinity to positive infinity.
Okay.
Right. And for this integral, it's just it's our definition of the convolution of the continuous time domain. That's the definition of convolution. So, now let's using our visualization tool to see how can we what the convolution result looks like, right? So here is system output. Output is equal to the input, the convolution of input, and the impulse response. If you click this link, it will pop up a new window for our Java applet to compute the convolution. If in this Java applet, tutorial how to use it. This is the system input. This will be XT, right? You can specify this as a sine signal or step or triangle or something, or you can draw it by yourself. And here is the this one is the HT, is the impulse response. You also can draw that. If we give this input xt and the impulse response ht, we just compute the convolution. The convolution will show up here, this area. And correspondingly, this two window will slide at the same time, and the result will be show up here, right? Actually, the signal for the xt, I will draw the xt in this chat. Right. That's the kind of a step. And for this signal, for the ht, I will just fix it as this. 1, 6, 1. That's our HT group. That represents our system. I will click the system menu, then I can draw the HT. Let's see how what the convolution looks like. This is too fast, right? So it's okay. Basically, we will slide one window to match the other window. And in the right, see. Currently, we slide this window to match this window. It does a mathematical integration. And in this area, remember this small area. In this area, before this area, the output should be zero, right? Because this part is zero, this part is zero. And starting from this point, these two signals here share this part, and we do integration for this part, and we get the output. This output is y equals to X. And this window will keep sliding, and we will share this part, this part, and the later part, and then we will draw the other part of the output result as 2 minus X, I think Y equals 2 minus something like that. For this demonstration, let's see what XT is. This is our input, right? XT. This is Y, here is Y. Unit step, not just the step signal. And for our HT,
otherwise,
zero.
So,
XT, yeah,
okay.
XT. same thing with HT. For some kind of homework or exam, this shouldn't be that easy, right? You need some kind of x, maybe it is not 1, it should be some t square or something like that. And but the steps to solving the problem will be the same. So if for these two signals, if we want to take computing the convolution, we go to the definition first. That's the definition of convolution, is integration of x tau and ht minus tau. So for this integral, x tau is just ht, right? This part we didn't change. But this part is ht minus tau. Here, tau is the variable. It's the equivalent to this t. That means we need to do this, we need to first do the flip. We get the h minus tau first. And then we will do the slide of the shift. We get the h t minus tau. We get this function. And we put these two together, it's just the in calculus you should learn this, do the integration. Remember for ht minus tau, flip first then slide. Here, this is our x tau. It's the same with ht. Here is h tau, right? And the first, we flip. What will it look like after flip? It will be this side. This is h minus tau. After that, we slide. How many do we slide? How many? T, right? Because we want to get T minus tau. We need to slide T. After we write slide to T, this is t minus 1, and this is t. Everybody with me on this part?
Is it t minus 1 or
t minus 1 half?
that's the function of C minus tau. Because first here, for the H minus tau, we are from minus 1 to 0.
Because
here, we're from 0 to 1. After sleep, we're from minus 1 to 0. After we add this H minus tau, this H.
Okay.
So we add a T. So the area will become from T minus 1 and 0 plus T. T minus 1 to T.
Okay.
Everybody with me? Here, we will need to compare this T minus 1 and T with X, with here, with 0 and 1. Remember here, we slide this window, right? The window we are sliding T minus 1 to T. We are sliding this from here to there, and we will get this. This window is T minus 1 to T. Because when T is different, when tau is different, it will drag back. Right. Because when T is different, they share some area, sometimes they are separate.
Well, you can change the system response graph to some of it.
Sure. The system response, you can always change that. After you change it, it's different. For this two, one is the, I believe this one should be the system input. This one is the system response. This two will try to match and slide one. You always fix one. We fix the XT. And we slide HT. You can do the reverse. You can fix HT and slide XT. Doesn't matter. Because the convolution operation is commutative, right? XT convolute HT is equal to XT convolute HT equals to HT convolute. Doesn't matter. Usually we will choose. Sometimes you need to make the decision. You fix XT or you fix HT. Depends on the signal. Okay, and
So whenever you slide it, how exactly do you know how far to slide it? Do you plug in values into that H of T minus tau?
Right, because here, this line. So left side is T minus 1, right side is T, right? We will just slide it here. Remember, here is T. We go this way. If T minus 0, what's the result? If T minus 0, this XT always 0. The integral is 0. But when T slightly greater than 0, if T is here, we will have some share this part. We share this part, right? Right. And this keep going. Sometimes it may get complicated, since this way, right? But for this case, it's not that complicated. It's just after the left part is T minus 1. After T minus 1 goes after 0, if T minus 1 greater than 0, and here, and also T here, right, as in this position, we share this part, right? Previously we share this part. First we share this part. Then we will share this part. Here is 1. So the integration error will be
divided by four parts. First is t less than 0, but it is always 0. And when it gets to the t, if t greater than 0, this part, t greater than 0, and and you need to less than here, less than 1, and this, here's this part, we do integral. And also, after that, if t greater than 0 and less than 2, right? Here is something. Here's something. And if t greater than 2, that's 0. The most important part is we get this 2. Sometimes it's 2, sometimes it's 3 or 4, it might be, right? Depends on how long is this 2 signal. Here is this 2, this length. Here is the same length. So since it's kind of signal, we only have 2. The first part is t less than 0. What's this integral here? What's this? X tau h tau.
0?
Yeah, this will be 0. And the second part, t greater than 0 but less than 1. And the most important part is the integration area. Here, the integration area, remember here, is from 0 to t. Right? Becomes 0 to t. Here, what's the x tau? 1. Right? And ht minus tau is also 1. T tau. We get this part. And if t greater than 1 or less than 2, this integral will become, what's that? Anybody tell me what's the integration area?
1 to t?
Here, like this, right? It should be from t minus 1 to 1, right?
T minus 2.
Right. So, is there any question for how we get this?
Yes. How do we get that?
Alright, why are you integrating up to 1? Why aren't you starting at 1 and integrating to t minus 1?
It all depends on how you use this to be better. If this is our xt, right, from 0 to 1, this is 0 to 1, and here is t minus 1 to t. First we go this way, the share area will become 0 to t. Right, because here is t, here is 0. If we go this way, and in this case, the share area is from, what's the left side?
T minus 1.
And right, what's the right side?
It's just
it's up 1. Right.
Okay.
So, are we clear with this?
So how do you figure out, like, it's t minus 1, but the 1 changes. Now, how do you figure out what the 1 is supposed to be? like depending on the signal.
It's going to be the end of the first signal. Well, so like if that were three seconds long, it would be three.
Well, I mean, but if they're not just like perfectly square signals, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, we're dealing with pretty like simple things here. What if they're like really curvy?
Probably doesn't matter. We only care about the left side, the left and the right.
Okay.
We need to care about the boundary.
Oh, so if it were a more complicated function,
right,
we would just treat it like a piecewise function and do every piece?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like doing piecewise.
And then and in this case, we've only got a square, so it's easy.
Right, that's the easiest one. This part don't matter that much. The most important is to compare the boundaries. This boundary is from 0 to 1. This boundary is from t minus 1 to t. We need to slide the 1 with the t, because t is keep changing, right? Time is changing.
And that's
and
it's
slide and
it's t minus 1 to t because tau runs from 0 to 1. Is that what's going on here?
Yes, but here is t minus 1 to t. It's that we need the...
Oh, okay, I see. Okay, that's coming from the graph above.
Yeah,
okay.
It comes from here. Probably from the definition of convolution, we need to convolute the x tau and h t minus tau. We need this one is fixed. We need this one keep changing, so we need to get that from definition and the slide. So, is there a question? So, from the t minus 1 to 1, what's x tau?
T minus 1 minus t.
That's 1.
Oh,
right. This should be the value. This is 1 value. This part is always, this is 1, otherwise 0. This is 1, otherwise 0. And also, ht minus tau is also 1. So, divide d tau and... this will become tau, right? But the boundary is from t minus 1 to 1. This is 1 minus t minus 1. Is 2 minus t, right? Let's get the result for that problem. And for the last part, if t greater than 2, what's this? What's the value of this? If t greater than 2?
0.
Right. So, after all this work, we get the result. S T convolute S T equals 0 for t less than 0, right? And here is t when t greater than 1. What's this? It's a what's the, in this area, t greater than 1, less than 2. What's in that?
This is 2 minus t.
Right, we already got that. Minus t. And the t greater than 2. This is 0. That's the result. It's the segment we need to exactly here, right? From 0 to 1 is t. From 1 to 2 is 2 minus t.
Would you do a different shape up there just to see how it reacts?
Sure. So on the right side we have several different
is it? Doesn't matter which one changes, right? We can, if these two reverse, the result still the same. Here we start the space, the entity, we can change the entity. It's the same as we use XT here and use HT here, because it's the commutative. And let's see what it will look like. HT, we don't change it. We just change the here, if we have
this one, line slope. For the properties of convolution, first have this system property, x t convolution of t minus t zero will become x t minus t zero.
That's it.
And the integration is simple. I want to point out that one important property is the step result. For step result, why we need a step result? For the impulse response, we give delta t, we get h t. But in real life, since when the t is equal to zero, the delta t is infinity, right? For the circuit, this will be a infinity loss power, right? It will break the circuit. We can never do that for the circuit, for the delta t, right? But in this case, remember, if we do integration to the delta t, we will get u t, the step response. Here, in this case, we can just give u t to the system. We give u t to the system instead of delta t. And we will get the integral from minus infinity to t of h t. Right. That's the reason why u t is more convenient than delta t. Anybody have a question on this? For some kind of homework problem or exam problem, sometimes you need to do this kind of manipulation instead of using a delta t u. For the commutative property, distribution property, they are the same. Associative property, they are the same with different time convolution. Also, it's causal. H is zero when t less than zero. This shouldn't be n, this should be t. And also it's boundary, right? Because if you do integration to h t is less than infinity. Okay, today, so sum up, we introduce the continuous time convolution. We show some examples. You can play around with this Java applet, to get a better understanding of the convolution. Thanks. That is for today.
Thank you.
Hey, I don't know.